Hello and welcome. You are listening to the teaching ministry of Coastal Oaks Church in Rockport, Texas. It is our hope that you will be encouraged and that your desire to follow Jesus Christ will be challenged and strengthened as you listen to this podcast. For more information on location, service times, and what to expect on your next visit, go to coastaloakschurch.org. Now, grab your Bible and study along with us as you listen.
Amen. You can be seated. I invite you to open your Bibles to the book of Exodus chapter 2. Exodus chapter 2. We are in this study experiencing God, knowing and doing the will of God. Back in 1990, I did my first personal study, I think it was about 1990, of this course, Experiencing God. And through the process of that, God led me to be open to respond to what God was doing in another place. And I said, God, I'm open, I'm available, I'm willing to do what you want to do in my life. And it led to a life-changing experience for me. This year, as we went through Hurricane Harvey, I have been praying, and if you were here for those weeks after the storm, month after the storm, we were just going week by week saying, God, what would you have us to hear from you? What would you want to say to us as a congregation? We just shared what God was saying. And through that process, God led me to a book called Spiritual Leadership, written by Henry Blackaby. And as I've been studying that book, God just impressed upon my heart that what this congregation needs is to go back to that study that I went through years ago that brought me to the place where I was open to say, God, what are you doing and how can I join you in your work? So that's why we're here. That's why we're going through this study in our small groups, and that's why we're going to be preaching on it for a while. Last week, just by way of review, we tried to lay some foundational truths, and we said that God's Son is the source of life, and we looked at John 10 where Jesus said, I've come that they might have life and have it in abundance. And then John 15 where Jesus said, I'm the vine, you're the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Then we looked at God's Word, the Bible, being the source of our authority. And we looked at 2 Timothy chapter 3, where we saw the Bible is inspired by God. It is God's Word for us. And we said God's Holy Spirit is the teacher. And we saw how God sends His Holy Spirit to take His Word and illuminate it, to open truth to us as we walk in obedience with Him. And then we looked at God's nature. We said God is love. And because He's love, His will is always right for us. His will for anyone is right. Then God is all-knowing, and that means His directions are always going to be right. And lastly, God is all-powerful. And what we saw is that He can accomplish His will through us. So that brings us up to where we are today. As we look at this truth, God invites us to join Him in His work. Blackaby says in his study, we ask the wrong question. We ask, what is God's will for my life? And if you ask that question, you're going to get the wrong answer. He said, the right question is, God, what is your will? Not specifically for me, but God, what is your will? In other words, God, what are you doing, and how can I be involved in what you are doing? So I want us to look at the life of Moses as God called Moses out to be the leader of the children of Israel, to lead them out of bondage in Egypt, and how these truths that we're going to be studying for months now are foundational in these several passages of Scripture. So our number one truth, if you're taking out notes in your outline, is God is already at work. So number one, God was already at work around Moses. God was already at work around Moses. If you look at the text in Exodus, you read the story of how Moses was hidden by his parents and in the bulrushes and in a basket, and ultimately Pharaoh's household raised him up, and Moses grew up to be a man, and as he saw the Egyptians mistreating his people, the Hebrews, he killed one of the Egyptians, and because of that, he feared Pharaoh, and he fled into the wilderness. And Moses is running away from Pharaoh, and he's out by himself in the wilderness. And the Bible says in verse 23 of chapter 2, after a long time, the king of Egypt, that's Pharaoh, died. And the Israelites groaned because of their difficult labor. And they cried out, and their cry for help ascended to God because of their difficult labor. Let me just, again, put some more information in here for you. The children of Israel, the Hebrew nation, grew within the land of Egypt and became slaves to the Egyptians. And they cried out to God. Now, Moses saw that, but he left to run because he feared Pharaoh. And he's out in the wilderness now by himself, spending 40 years out there learning the ways of the wilderness. The Bible says God heard their groaning, verse 24. So God heard their cry, he heard their groaning, and he remembered his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That doesn't mean God had forgotten his covenant. It just means that he's bringing it into bear here. And God saw the Israelites, verse 25, and he took notice. Number one, God was already at work around Moses. Moses is in the wilderness, Moses is out there. He's raising sheep. He's learning that land, that region. He's learning the ways of living in the desert. And God is at work with his people, and his people are crying out. God's preparing his people for a deliverer. God's preparing Moses to be the deliverer. Don't miss that truth. God was working around Moses. George W. Truett says, success is knowing God's will and being right in the center of it. I like that. Moses was out there. God was working in his life. God was working in the life of the Hebrews in Egypt, and he was putting it all together. God's at work around us. Don't miss that. One of the things that we're going to try to be sensitive to in these weeks as we study this is to look for what places where God is at work so we can join him in that work. One morning this week or so ago, I was praying that God would give me an opportunity just to pray with someone, to share Christ with someone that day specifically. And I prayed it in a different way than I've prayed it for a while. And that morning, I walked through Walmart, and here's a family who's attended our church. And I said hi to them, and they were shocked that I said hi to them, that I even noticed them. And we stopped and prayed and just asked what was going on in their life. And there in Walmart, we got to pray. I said, thank you, God, that today you've answered that prayer because you're at work in that couple's life. And they were sensitive to you, and I was sensitive that God was at work. And then a little bit later, I was in another store. One of our ladies who attends here was a cashier and could sense God was working there and got to pray for her. Just be sensitive. That's what Moses was doing, because God was already at work around us. The second truth that we need to see from this section of Scripture is that God pursued, number two, you taking notes? God pursued a continuing love relationship with Moses that was real and personal. God pursued this continuing love relationship with Moses that was real and it was personal. It wasn't just about religion. It wasn't about ritual. It wasn't some distant God out there in the universe. It was a personal God dealing with the person Moses. He calls him out in chapter 2 here, but I'd like us just to jump to chapter 24 where it describes some of that activity where God is stirring and calling Moses out. In verse 12, the Bible says this, "The Lord said to Moses, come up to me on the mountain and stay there so that I might give you the stone tablets with the law and the commandments that I've written for your instruction," their instruction. So Moses, they're in the wilderness as we fast forward to chapter 24, and God is calling Moses out. Come up to the mountain, Moses. I want to speak to you so I can speak through you. Look at verse 15. When Moses went up to the mountain, the cloud covered it, and the glory of the Lord settled on the Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it for 6 days. And on the seventh day, he called to Moses from the cloud. God was speaking to Moses. God was calling Moses out. God was pursuing Moses. Verse 18 says, Moses entered the cloud as he went up to the mountain, and he remained on the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights. So you say, why was that? Well, because God was working. He called his people out. He's about to deliver his people, give them the promised land, and he needed to work through Moses. So God had to speak clearly, had to draw Moses into that love relationship with him. Listen, God wants you to be in an intimate love relationship with him. It is not about coming to church. It is not about just showing up here Sunday morning. That's a good thing. I'm proud of you. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad that you're with the people of God to be encouraged and to look at the Word of God and to worship and sing praises. But it's not about just that. It's about the God of the universe who loved you so much that he sent his one and only Son to die on a cross, to bear the penalty and the punishment of your sin so that you could have a relationship with him. Do you see that? God is crying out, he's calling out, and he's saying, I want you to be in love relationship with me. And that's how he pursues us. He works at that. He is constantly drawing us to himself. You're here this morning because God stirred in your heart to bring you here. You may say, well, there are other motives there, but you're here because God wanted you here. When God does the work and he's calling you out, he's pursuing you. I'm so thankful that God pursued me. I was raised in a Christian home. I was taken to church, and I said last week from when I was a little boy in the nursery, but I came to a point in my life as a teenager where I realized that I was just going to church and I didn't have a relationship with God. And it was at that point that I said, God, I know I'm a sinner. I'm not a terrible sinner like you might think, because as old as I was, I could have done some bad things, but it wasn't terrible, but I was a sinner. The Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And I said, God, I've sinned. I've rebelled against you. Forgive me. Come into my life. Take up residence in me. And he did by his Holy Spirit. Forgive me of my sin. And I committed that day as a teenager. Jesus, be the Lord of my life. Be the boss of my life. And I entered into a love relationship with a God who pursued me And I can't tell you how many times over the years I've said, God, I don't know how I can thank you for being so faithful to pursue me. Because as a kid growing up in church and hearing it week after week after week, and I still didn't get it, God was faithful to continue to send people. God was faithful to continue to send people to work in my parents' lives so that they could come to Christ and so that I could come to Christ. God pursued me. He pursues us. Back in 1989, I had a pastor friend who encouraged me to get my doctorate at Golden Gate Seminary. And I said, yeah, right. When I graduated from seminary at Southwestern after 4 years, I said, I'm done. Never again. I'm done with school. No more. And this guy, this pastor friend said, boy, Kevin, it'd really help you if you'd go get your doctorate at Golden Gate. I said, thanks. I'd see him a few weeks later. Hey, Kevin, how's it going? How you doing? How's your ministry? Have you thought more about that doctorate? No, I haven't, but thanks so much. A year went by, and every time I'd see the guy, he'd mention that. Another year went by. That guy was, I want to say he was annoying, but he was persistent. He said, Kevin, I think it would really help your ministry. And I never took him up on that until I moved to Rockport, and God began to stir in my heart some more, and I kept remembering that nagging, hey, Kevin, you ought to check into this, and I did. And by the way, I applied twice and didn't fill out the paperwork completely because I wasn't sure I could do it, but I finally did, and it was one of the best things I ever did. And by the way, I said I'd never go back to school, and I went back to school. And it was the most rewarding time of my ministry because somebody was persistent enough to pursue me and keep saying, you need to do this, you need to do this, it'd be good for you. That's what God's doing. You say, God's after me, he wants to get me, he wants to trap me, he wants to put a barrier around me so I can't have fun in my life. No, he isn't. He's after you because he loves you. He's after you because he wants to show you how much joy there can be in your life if you just enter into a relationship with him. God pursued that love relationship with Moses and he pursues it with us. Number three. God invited Moses to become involved with him in his work. So important. God invited Moses to become involved with him in his work. Can I say it another way? God invited Moses to become involved with God in God's work. This isn't Moses' work. This is God's work. There's a difference. Sometimes we say, well, that person is a good church worker. That person's a good kingdom worker. Well, it's all about what God's doing, what he wants to do in us and through us. Look at chapter 3 in Exodus. The Bible says in chapter 2, we read it, that the Hebrews cried out and God heard their cry. In chapter 3, verse 8, God says this, I have come down to rescue them. God is speaking to Moses, I've come down to rescue them from the power of the Egyptians and to bring them from that land to a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey. The territory of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Look at verse 10. Therefore go, God says to Moses, I am sending you to Pharaoh so that you may lead my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. Here's what God says. Moses, I'm hearing the cry of my people. They're in bondage in Egypt. I'm about to deliver them, Moses. You get to get in on it. That's Kevin's paraphrase of that. Isn't that the way God works? God says, I'm about to do something. You get to get in on it. God says, Kevin, I'm about to do something in Rockport. You get to get in on it. I'm not sure what that is yet. Are you? I'm excited about what God may do, about how God may use this hurricane, how God may use our recovery, how God may use what he's doing. I'm excited, but here's what God says. I'm about to do something. You get to be in on it. God says, Coastal Oaks Church, I'm about to do something in this community. You get to join me in that. You get to be a part of that. F.B. Meyer said it this way, it doesn't depend on you. When God calls, the responsibility for success rests on God. Did you get that? God may be calling you out of your vocation into ministry. God may be calling you to be involved in ministry in a setting within this local church. God may be calling you to do something major in your life. And you're saying, I don't think I can do it. I don't think I can do it. It's up to him, not you. If God is inviting you to join him and be involved in his work, he's got this. He's got this. Every church I've pastored, all three of them, in 30 years, just three. Every church I've pastored, I've gone in with fear and trembling and said, God, I don't know if I can do this. And God says, that's right. God, I don't know if I can pastor these people. That's right. You don't, because you can't. God, I need you. And then God says, that's right, you need me. Kevin, I'm about to do something in this church, and I want you to be a part of it. Yes, Lord, here I am. I'm about to do something in this church. Yes, here I am. I'm about to do something here. I'm about to do something in Rockport. God, I understand. He just wants us to join him. Isn't that great? You know, God could do all this without us. God could say, I'm just going to set everybody aside and watch me work. And he'd get the glory and it'd be tremendous. We could just sit on the sidelines like in an arena, like in a stadium and watch God work and we would celebrate and give him glory. But he is so good. He says, I want you to experience this with me. I want you to be a part of this. I have a picture. I had a picture hanging on my wall somewhere. I don't know after Harvey where it is. But it's a picture of me and my son mowing our backyard. And he's old enough to where he's holding the lawnmower like this, all right? So he's a little guy. And he's holding the lawnmower like this, and he's pushing it to mow the backyard. And I'm behind him holding the lawnmower, and I'm pushing it. Now, who's mowing the lawn? There's no way that little guy could mow that lawn. No way. I was mowing the lawn, but he got to hold on to the handle and be a part of it. That's what God wants to do. Listen, there's nothing great Coastal Oaks Church can do. There's nothing great we can do. But we serve a great God who's up to something. And he's saying, I'm about to mow the lawn. Grab hold, okay? Grab hold. Number four, God spoke to Moses. God spoke to reveal himself, his purposes, and his ways. God spoke to reveal himself, his purposes, and his ways. Can I break that down for you? God spoke to Moses to say who he was, what he was about, and how he was going to do it. Now, my experience has been, and Moses' experience has been, and Abraham's experience was, that God doesn't show you the whole plan ahead of time, does he? But you know that he has a plan. Jeremiah said it, I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you, plans not to harm you, plans for hope and plans for a future. Jeremiah 29:11. God has a plan. I don't know what that is. But I know that he's invited me to join him in it. So he will speak to me to reveal a step at a time of his plans, his purposes, and his ways. But it starts with revealing himself, of knowing who he is. Look back at chapter 3 at verse 2 now. The angel of the Lord appeared to Moses in a flame of fire within a bush. The story of Moses there in the desert at the burning bush. As Moses looked, he saw the bush was on fire but was not consumed. That's a supernatural flame, folks. So Moses thought, I must go over and look at this remarkable sight. Why isn't the bush burning up? When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called out to him from the bush, Moses, Moses, here I am, he answered. That's a good answer, isn't it? When God calls your name, here. Now that it is in class, your name's called, I'm here. Here I am. Do not come closer, he said. Remove the sandals from your feet, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. Then he continued, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. Here's what God does. He calls Moses out at the bush, and he starts by telling Moses who he is. He starts by revealing himself to Moses. Moses, this is the God who's about to do something. And I love, we talked about this last time, that where ultimately when he says, I am, he's saying, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. Here's what God is saying, Moses, I'm going to do with you what I did with Abraham, with Isaac, with Jacob. I'm the same God I was to them, to you. And then he says in verse 7, he begins to reveal his purposes and his ways. Then the Lord said, I have observed the misery of my people in Egypt because I've heard them crying out because of their oppressors, and I know about their sufferings. I have come down to rescue them from the power of the Egyptians and bring them from that land to that land flowing with milk and honey. Here's what God says. Moses, I'm inviting you to join me in my work. And here's who I am. I've got this. And here's what I'm going to do. And you're going to be a part of it. I love that. that God says, you need to know who I am. Because when you know who I am, you'll know what I can do. When you know, and the only way you know who I am is by being in a relationship with me. See, it's not about a rule book. It's not about studying ways to do things. It's about being involved in that intimate love relationship with God. I have story after story after story in my life where I've had those milestone moments where God, those burning bush moments where God has met me and revealed to me a little bit, step by step, about it, what he wants to do. And all I've been able to say in those moments is, here I am. Just as simple, here I am. That's what Moses says. I believe God wants to reveal himself to us. He has already revealed himself as our protector. Did you know that? We know God. We know by experience. Raise your hand if you stayed for the storm, if you stayed here, okay? Those folks with their hands in the air, I did not, mine's down, they know by experience that God is their shield and their protector. How many of you have seen God come in and provide to meet needs in your life since the storm? You, folks with your hands in the air, know God by experience as Jehovah, my provider. If you've been healed, you know God by experience as your healer. All of those things remind us that God is revealing himself to us and what he wants to do. I love the account I read in the news about the situation in Uganda years ago. They were having trouble with cattle rustlers, and the cattle would get intermingled and mixed with each other, and the army would come in and try to settle it and try to settle the dispute of whose cattle belonged to who. And it was always a confrontation, it was always a fight and argument. But the army shared how they were amazed that one lady would step up and she would call her cows by name. And when she would call that cow's name, that cow would lift its head and begin to follow her. And she called the cow by name, and the cow lifted its head and began to follow her. And they had no question of which cattle belonged to that woman, because they knew her voice and she knew her cattle. That's what God wants to do. He wants to be in that love relationship with us so much that we hear his voice, we know his voice, we respond to it. Number five, we're on number five. God's invitation for Moses to work with him led to a crisis of belief that required faith and action. It led to a crisis of belief that led to faith and action. When God invites you to join him in what he's doing, if it's really God, you'll know it. And that'll be your question. God, is this really you? Is this invitation to get involved in this, is this really you? And when you recognize that it is, it'll lead you to a crisis of belief where you've got to acknowledge God is at work, he's inviting me to join him, and am I going to respond? That's what the faith in action comes in. Look at chapter 3 again. After Moses says, here I am, after God says, this is what I'm going to do, I love verse 11. But Moses asked God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the Israelites out of Egypt? Who am I, Moses says. You go through this whole passage of scripture, you can see in verse 13, Moses says, if I go to the Israelites and they ask, what is his name? What should I tell them? And you have excuse after excuse after excuse through this passage of scripture. They won't believe me, Moses says in chapter 4. What am I to say to them? Moses says, what if they won't believe me and will not obey me, but say the Lord did not appear to you? The Lord said, what's in your hand? And he shows him his staff. God, every one of Moses' objections, God meets. Moses came to a crisis of belief. Ultimately, Moses said, God sends someone else. If you look at chapter 4 in Exodus, after Moses rattles through his excuses, verse 13, Moses said, please, Lord, send someone else. Jill Briscoe has written a book about Moses. It's called Here Am I, Send Aaron. Well, we never say that, would we? God, here we are, we're your people, we see you're up to something, we see it's an invitation to join you in what you're doing in our community. God, here we are, send Pastor Kevin. Send Pastor Andy. Send them to do the work, Lord. That's what Moses is saying. God, I'm here, but send somebody else. By the way, Moses struggles through this crisis of belief and finally is available, and God works with him and uses him greatly. But when God invites you, it's gonna be that moment where you say, "Am I willing to change?" And that's number six. Moses had to make major adjustments in his life to join God in what he was doing. Moses had to make major adjustments in his life to join God in what he was doing. It wasn't, "Well, I guess I'll get up 5 minutes earlier now. Well, I guess I'll arrive at church on time now. Well, I guess I'll sing the songs now. That'll be my sacrifice to the Lord." No, major adjustments. Look at chapter 11 of the book of Hebrews that looks back at the life of the children of Israel. In chapter 11, has been called the chapter of faith. Verse 24. The Bible says, "By faith Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter and chose to suffer with the people of God rather than enjoy the short-lived pleasure of sin. For he considered the reproach because of the Messiah to be greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, since his attention was on the reward." By faith, the Bible says, by faith. Verse 27, "By faith he left Egypt behind, not because he was afraid of the king's anger, for Moses persevered as one who sees him who is invisible. By faith he instituted the Passover and sprinkling of blood. By faith," the Bible says, "he led them across the Red Sea." Moses made a major adjustment in his life to be able to be involved in what God was doing. If you go back to chapter 4 in Exodus, when Moses goes through these excuses and says, "Here am I, but send someone else," and God works in his life, look at verse 19. "Now in Midian, the Lord told Moses, 'Return to Egypt, for all the men who wanted to kill you are dead.' So Moses took his wife, his sons, put them on a donkey, and returned to the land of Egypt." Moses made a major adjustment in his life. He is a shepherd now. He's raised a family now. And he packs them all up, puts them in the minivan, loads the U-Haul, and goes back to Egypt. He uproots his family to be a part of what God is doing. When we came to Rockport, our kids were in the first, I think in third grade. And they were both had come to know the Lord at 5 years of age, so they were believers, and they prayed. We prayed with them, they prayed with us, and they said, "Dad, why are we moving to Rockport?" They had friends in Arlington. We had lived in a great neighborhood, great home. We had a great life there in Arlington. And they said, "Dad, why are we going?" And I said, "Because God has spoken to us and said, I want you to go to Rockport." And we piled them in the truck, U-Haul, and came down here. And my prayer was, I'll be honest with you, my prayer was, "God, I just told my kids that you called us to Rockport. You better come through." That's what I prayed. I said, "God, I have told my kids that you'll take care of us, that you'll provide for us, that you'll use us, and it's the right thing to do. God, please show up." And as my wife says, "Show off," and he did. God has been in the midst of everything. God has shown up. He's shown himself to be provider. God affirmed that prayer because I believe God was already about to do something here. And he called me, invited me, and I joined him in what he was already doing. Major adjustments often yield major reward. Minor adjustments might yield minor rewards. But when God says, "I'm calling you to join me in what I'm doing," you have the opportunity to answer yes or no. And don't do like Pharaoh did. Remember the plague of the frogs? As the story unfolds there, and the frogs are in the land of Egypt, they're in the beds, they're in the ovens everywhere, and Moses says, "God's ready to take the frogs away. Pharaoh, you just say when." And Pharaoh said, "Tomorrow." Can you believe that? The plague of the frogs has infested the land of Egypt. The people can't stand it. And Moses says, "All you have to do, Pharaoh, is say the word, and God will remove the frogs." He says, "Let's do it tomorrow. God, I want what you want, but tomorrow. God, I believe that if I just say the word, you're going to act, and and do that, but do it tomorrow. It's not the way God works. When God's up to something, he wants us right now. Right now. Number 7. Moses came to know God by experience. As he obeyed, and God accomplished his work through Moses. God came to know Moses by experience. As he obeyed God, and God accomplished his work through Moses. I could read the whole book of Exodus to you, but just look at chapter 14 with me. You're in luck, my voice is about gone, so I can't go much further. Thank you for whoever laughed. Moses leads the people out of Egypt. God sent the plagues and spoke through that, and Moses leads the children of Israel up to the Red Sea. Bible says in verse 15, the Lord said to Moses, why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to break camp. As for you, lift up your staff, stretch out your hand over the sea, divide it so that the Israelites can go through the sea on dry ground. I am going to harden the hearts of the Egyptians so that they will go after them, and I will receive glory by means of Pharaoh, all his army, and all his chariots, and all his horsemen. Look at verse 21. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea. The Lord drove the sea back with a powerful east wind all that night and turned the sea into dry land. So the waters were divided, and the Israelites went through the sea on dry ground with the waters like a wall to them on their right and on their left. Wow. The Egyptians set out in pursuit. Verse 23, all Pharaoh's horses, chariots, and horsemen, they went into the sea after them. Look at verse 26. Then the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand over the sea so that the waters may come back on the Egyptians and on their chariots and horsemen. So Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and at daybreak the sea returned to its normal depth. While the Egyptians were trying to escape from it, the Lord threw them into the sea. Verse 29, the Israelites walked through the sea on dry ground, the waters like a wall to them to their right, to their left. Verse 30, that day, the Lord saved Israel from the power of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. When Israel saw the great power that the Lord used against the Egyptians, the people feared the Lord and believed in him and his servant Moses. When God works, we come to know God by experience. That group of folks came to know God by experience as their deliverer by experience. God came to know David by experience as he killed the giant with 5 smooth stones. That's all he had. God revealed himself to the disciples. They came to know God by experience as he worked through Jesus and through them. I want to close with what evangelist Louis Palau wrote about his testimony of being called to be used by God. It just fits this story. Louis Palau is one of the most popular evangelists in the Latin American world. He was in his first semester at Multnomah School of the Bible, and Major Ian Thomas with a Bible teaching ministry came and spoke in chapel. This is what Palau says. He talked about how it took Moses 40 years in the wilderness to learn what he was doing. Then one day Moses was confronted with a burning bush and likely a dry bunch of ugly sticks, yet Moses had to take off his sandals. Why? Because God was in the bush. Palau writes this, Major Thomas then said, God was telling Moses, I don't need a pretty bush or an educated bush or an eloquent bush. Any old bush will do as long as I'm in the bush. If I'm going to use you, it won't be doing something for me, but me doing something through you. Palau writes, I was that kind of a bush, a useless bunch of dried sticks. I could do nothing for God. All my reading and studying and modeling myself after others was worthless unless God was in the bush. Only he could make something happen. He says, when Thomas closed the message, I ran back to my room in tears and prayed in my native Spanish. My spiritual struggle was finally over. I'd let God be God and let Lewis be dependent on him. That's my prayer for us, that we could say, God, we're just going to let you be God. And as you show us what you're doing, we're going to join you, and you're going to get the glory. Pray with me.